Our Bible reading this morning is from John chapter 21. John chapter 21, starting at verse 9 through to verse 19. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. When you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." And we look forward to seeing what God has to say to us through King on this passage later in the service.
Hello, everybody. It's me again. This morning, we will continue to meditate on last Sunday's theme, that Jesus cares a lot for us. He comes especially to those who are in doubt and despair, those who are on the verge of abandoning their faith in Jesus. Last Sunday, we have seen that Jesus came for Mary and Thomas. Today, we meditate on the encounter between Jesus and Peter in John 21. The story is a familiar one. It is also very challenging, so much so that some Christians would want to avoid it, afraid to face Jesus' question. But this morning, the second Sunday after Easter, let us face it squarely and honestly as a way forward in our journey in faith. As the story goes, the disciples, seven of them, had been fishing the previous evening, unfortunately caught nothing. Then Jesus appeared to them standing on the shore, and we pick up the story at verse 9. After the astonishing catch of fish, on coming ashore, the disciples discover that Jesus had already prepared breakfast for them. I've never stopped being amazed by what Jesus did. I'm sure you are too. He is always mindful of what his disciples needed and always ready to help. Jesus invited them to breakfast, handing out first the bread and then the fish, and they shared the meal together. Jesus was the host, the disciples were his guests. I don't know about you, but as I read the story, I sense there's a hint of muteness in the scene. Nobody was saying much. This was a bit different from before the death and resurrection of Jesus. During those times, they often conversed with each other. They would ask Jesus all kinds of questions, and Jesus taught them many things. And the disciples would argue among themselves and with each other. Sometimes the arguments were so heated that Jesus had to intervene to calm things down. But this morning, all that was gone. There seemed to be a kind of a distance between Jesus and the disciples. It may seem strange, but perhaps not difficult to understand. Even though Jesus remained the same Jesus in appearance, in manner, and in speech, but there's a fundamental difference in him that caused the disciples to refrain from being too familiar or too chummy with him. After all, he has risen from the dead, and he is the Lord of all. After the meal, Jesus turned to Simon Peter and said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" As we all know, Jesus asked the same questions three times, and Peter responded with the same answer three times. Each time, both the question and the answer used slightly different terms, but the meaning remained the same. Why? Asked Peter three times. The usual answer is to correspond to the three times of Peter's denial of Jesus. I believe that's possible. And I would also think that Jesus intentionally asked Peter three times so there's no room for evasion. And so it is for us. Confronted with Jesus' repeated questioning, perhaps many of us would want to hide, to turn away, want to avoid it by all means, because answering it would require us to lay bare our innermost beings, the most secrets of our thoughts. Who can bear to do this? We like to hide behind all kinds of masks. We are so adept at camouflaging our true selves. Answering this question honestly forces us to face our nakedness. Jesus' question shakes us to the core of our beings. What did Jesus mean by love? Remember that Jesus did not ask the question like any other human being, but as the resurrected Lord. The question has to mean something deeper. I believe that Jesus was using the verb love in its Old Testament sense, which has more to do with total commitment than to a certain sentiment or emotion. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, I think is the best explanation. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." I think we should underline the word all, which means total and complete. Personally, I like the Chinese translation. I think it's better to convey the meaning of the verse. The Chinese word zhen means this is not a finished or completed state. This is a work in progress. The final goal is always in front of you. You never reach the goal. So I think this is what the text says. You love God with all your heart. That means to the utmost of your ability. Jesus did not ask for disciples' friendship. He asked, what did Jesus mean by loving me more than these? What did these refer to? Did he mean the fishing boat, the net and equipment, even the large catch of fish? It is possible, but unlikely. The best explanation is that the word "these" refers to the other disciples. Remember, there were seven of them present that morning, which included Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the son of Zebedee, Jacob and John, and two unnamed disciples. One of them is the disciple whom Jesus loved, supposedly the author of the Gospel of John. If by these meant the other six, why did Jesus make reference to them? Why compare Peter with the others? Is Jesus implying, encouraging rivalry among the disciples? To answer this question, we have to return to the night before Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night of the Last Supper. You remember that during the meal, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, then gave them a new commandment that they were to love one another. And after Judas Iscariot had left, Jesus said to the remaining disciples that I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. In John 19:33, Jesus was referring to his crucifixion. But Peter was puzzled by this cryptic statement and asked Jesus what he meant by it. The following exchange is worth quoting in full, and I'm reading from John 19:36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Among the disciples present, Peter was the only one who bravely said that he not only would follow Jesus wherever he went, he wouldn't mind laying down even his life if that is necessary. He said that because perhaps he thought that Jesus needed protecting. As always, Peter said things he had no idea what they meant. And as we all know, he failed to keep this promise, as predicted by Jesus. Now back to the morning of Jesus' appearance. When Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? He was referring back to that evening, to that conversation. At that time, appeared to be brave and bold, more confident than anyone present. He appeared to be more loyal than the rest, because he would go the extra mile in following Jesus, even while the others wouldn't. He wanted to assure Jesus that he would be right beside him all the way. But as we all know, he failed miserably. Now Jesus was asking him whether he still regarded himself as more loyal and committed than the rest. As you ponder the text, I wonder if you ever wonder what kind of tone did Jesus ask the question with? Can you sense the gentleness in the tone of Jesus when he's asking Peter this question? Jesus asked gently, not in an accusing way. He did not want to humiliate Peter in front of the other disciples. Jesus came to the shore of the Sea of Galilee early this morning, not to destroy Peter, but to love him. Because more than any other person in the world, Peter needed it. Jesus came to Peter to let him know that he was his and he would not let him go, even though he had stumbled. In spite of Peter's failures and weaknesses, Jesus is holding him fast in his heart. For him, he came. And how did Peter respond? He said, "Lord, you know that I love you." Compared to what he has said in John 13:37, gone is the certainty, the boldness, the bravery, and the brashness. The focus has also shifted. It is no longer on the I, but on the you. Peter was not so sure of himself anymore. He was more humbled and reserved now, because he had learned his lesson. That is why he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." The emphasis here is on the "you know" part. Of course, he still loved Jesus. Of course, he was still loyal to him. Of course, he wanted Jesus to know that. But how could he express it in a convincing way after what had happened? Peter's reticence is very revealing. And let me quote one commentator said about Peter's response. He said, "By this time, all the old self-confidence and assertiveness manifest in Peter before the crucifixion had drained away. He could only appeal to the Lord's totality of knowledge, which included his knowledge of Peter's heart. He really did love him, and more than that, he could not say." To us, Peter's words are both revealing and sobering. Who can guarantee that one's love to Jesus would not turn cold and would not fail? Who can promise that one will always be true and faithful to him? Nobody. No one can. To Peter's belief, a relief, Jesus accepted his words. It is not for him or for us to guarantee that our love for Jesus will last. It is he who loves us to the end. He guarantees his love for us will see us through difficult times of doubt and despair. But Jesus' words did not end there. He went on to commission Peter to shepherd his flock, to feed them. One day, Peter will be martyred. And the last word of Jesus to Peter was, "Follow me." He called Peter out of love, and so he will call to us. So, the message for us. Just as Jesus came especially for Mary and Thomas, so did Jesus come to Peter in witnesses and failures. And so will Jesus come to any of us whenever we find ourselves in similar situations. For people like us, Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer in John 17, that no one of his flock will be lost, that the Holy Father will keep the faithful safe till the last day. The comfort which story brings to us is that it is not us who desperately cling to Jesus with our strength, but it is he who holds us fast in his hands. And there's more. This part of the story concludes with Jesus' words to Peter, "Follow me." To follow implies a journey, which of course is a journey of faith, of commitment, and of service. Our passage hints at the implication of this call, that one day Peter will be martyred. The question for us today is, what will our responses be? To follow Jesus means to take up the cross and follow in his footsteps. In many parts of the world today, following Jesus literally means laying down one's life and sacrificing one's freedom. There are Christians in Hong Kong who are imprisoned because they dare to follow the words of God, to live righteous lives, to speak the truth, and to stand up to authorities, which trying everything to take freedom from the people of Hong Kong. And perhaps you have heard about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor who was imprisoned by the Nazis and martyred just 2 weeks before Germany surrendered. Do you know that he was not forced into this, but he freely chose to, knowing what his choice entailed? At that time, Bonhoeffer was teaching in America, in a seminary in America. He chose to return to Nazi Germany because he believed that this was the right thing to do, that Jesus was calling him to return. And he followed. During the Nazi period, a lot of German pastors chose to bow to the Nazis and embraced Nazi ideology. Many churches were willing to stand by the authorities and therefore became complicit in the crime of the Nazis. Bonhoeffer was one of the leaders that brought together a group of churches to form the so-called Confessing Church. They issued a statement in 1934, which was called the Bauman Declaration, written by the German theologian Karl Barth, which declared that the church's allegiance is to God and to God alone, not to any person or ideology. Like Peter, Bonhoeffer followed Christ to the cross. Today, Jesus is still calling us, perhaps not necessarily to be martyred like Peter and Bonhoeffer and many others, but at least to be faithful witnesses, to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, to walk like him, to live like him, and to serve like him. He calls us because he loves us. He is praying for those who follow him gladly, that not one of them will be lost, but safe in his hands to the end. So let me close with this hymn, the title of which is A Servant's Song. I would like you to meditate on it with me. It goes like this. Make me a servant just like your son. He was a servant, please make me one. Make me a servant, do what you must do. To make me a servant, make me like you. Make me a servant, take all my pride. For I would be lowly, humble inside, giving to others with all that I do. In love for my brother, make me like you. And finally, make me a servant filled by your might. And may all my labors shine with your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do. For now and forever, make me like you. May the grace of God be with you always. As we begin the Lord's Supper, to you once again, from the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul's word to the church in chapter 11, verses 20-26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This brief passage brings us back to the night of Jesus' betrayal. It reminds us of what Jesus said in that crucial night to encourage the disciples to be faithful, that even though difficult times lie ahead, they were not without hope. The words, as often as you eat and drink the cup, says clearly that this is not the end, but just the beginning. The future still lies ahead. And more importantly, observing Jesus' words is an act of faith, because by this act, we claim the Lord's death he comes. This is, of course, forward-looking, awaiting the time when the Son of God finally comes and all of the faithful will be taken up into. So in the name of our Lord, I invite you to come forward when you're ready to take the bread and the wine in obedience to our Lord's word. May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all from today and forevermore. Amen.